FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is May 21st, 2020. Well, market back to work. Will the country ever get back to business, or is this the new normal shutting down? Well, it looks like we have a tale of two countries. One country, governors are saying, act responsibly, go back to work if you want, restart your business, but just do it the right way. And then the other is the nanny states, which say, nope, you can't open your business and we'll throw you in jail. Or worse, if you try to, we'll take away your licenses, we'll revoke. California, they're even talking about shutting off your water and electricity. Doesn't sound like the America that I grew up in. Well, what do you think? Where do you think the country's heading? Will we ever fully reopen again? Why don't you email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, our good friend Jeff Soaz is with us. And now, Jeff, you've been watching this thing unfold. What's your take on it?
Hi, Kerry. Thanks for having me on again. I've got a lot of takes on this. But I think if we start just from a really high level, look, we all agree nobody wants to die any earlier than we have to, I don't think. And so nobody really wants to get sick or wants to get a virus. But at the same time, I think a lot of us want to be able to provide for our families. And so I think we can hold those two things simultaneously of, hey, I want to be healthy. I want to be safe. But I also want to have a productive livelihood. And so how do we do those two things? And they don't have to be opposed to each other. I love being in Texas. I'm a way too proud of Texas kind of guy. But the way the governor's doing it here, I'm really happy with, which is, hey, look, you don't have to go back to work. You don't have to open your business. But if you need to or you want to, then here's how to do it. And he had this great saying of, let's save lives while restoring livelihoods. And I think you can really do both. But from a real economic standpoint, I really like what Warren Buffett said recently at his annual shareholder meeting. He said, never bet against America. And so while this is a crazy time that we're in, and unlike anything that probably any of us that are alive have seen before, you know, we're going to get through this. And I think our country's going to be stronger for it. I mean, look, fortunately, it's not the you know, end of life as we know it. And so our healthcare systems will probably be stronger for having learned where some weaknesses are, and our national kind of health organizations for how to respond to health crisis. I think our country is going to be better for it. So in a way, it's kind of like you know, a fire drill for those of us that you know are still healthy and surviving this virus.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I just see that they can't just, the politicians can't stop being politicians over this. You know, they help themselves.
Sorry to interrupt, but when you have a stimulus bill that says, hey, we're going to give, you know, we've got this virus and we need to put stimulus into the economy. So we're going to put $25 million to the JFK Center for Performing Right. Arts, who, after they received the money, furloughed all of their people. Nice. And in the middle of it, we also decided to give a raise to every person in Congress that equated to $40,000+ a person.
Well, that's fair.
You know, when you see stuff like that baked in there, you just shake your head and think, gosh, just for once, could we stay focused here and not throw in the fat? But I guess not.
Nope. You know, Congress is truly a criminal underclass, right?
I think they have they have just continued to show the American people that they don't always have our best interests at heart. And it's really hard, you know, when you're talking about financial survival, these days, it seems as if no one knows where to get reliable information. You know, is it on social media? Is it what? Is it an article somebody shared? Or what news channel can I trust? And one of the best ways I think about it is this. It's kind of like the old sayings about statistics, about how you could use statistics to tell kind of whatever story you want. Well, I think it's the same way now in media, that you can find whatever media you want to validate whatever you want to believe. So if you want to believe something, you can find media out there with articles supporting that, even if they're totally opposed to something else. Yes. So it's really hard when you think about your finances and what to do, how to prepare, you know, the financial survival network. Okay, well, how do we survive this? And what do I trust? What's going to happen? Are we having this V-shaped recovery, or is it a U, or is it a L, or maybe we're going to have a W? You know, what letter of the alphabet is this going to look like? And we don't, you know, people are kind of lost right now, I think. And it's causing a lot of stress, really.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and people just don't know what to do. And like you say, you don't know who to trust, and you don't know whatever. It often feels like, Jeff, whatever you do is the wrong move. And, you know, this comes from emotions. And especially when you're negative, when you're feeling down, it's really difficult to make very sound decisions. So the first thing you need to do, in my opinion, is withdraw from the emotional state. Acknowledge that you're emotional, acknowledge that you're having an issue, and kind of try to go to your quiet place and get out of that. And then try to be objective and kind of figure out what your best options are.
Totally agree. Whether you want to believe it or not, this is having an impact on every one of you, on your mental state, on every one of us. It's having an impact on you. And probably one of the best things we could do right now is not make any big decisions, you know, because there's a lot of state of uncertainty and confusion. And so making big decisions right now could really backfire. So, you know, one of the things that I find kind of sad is that 10 years of, I mean, this has been one of the best economies that our country's had, and almost like back to the internet bubble of the 90s, the way it's just gone up and up, except this time it wasn't because of some thing like the internet bubble. This was a more diversified, healthy, well-balanced economy. This wasn't, hey, this crazy new, you know, industrial revolution that took place. And so we've had this really solid growing economy for a decade. And then as soon as this thing hits, you've got just this overwhelming outcry of people that say they can't make it in business and they can't make it in their personal lives. And so I think we have to kind of do a little sanity check and a gut check here on ourselves and say, hey, if you can't make it 2 months in your business without income or in your personal life without a paycheck after 10 of the best years we've ever had, you know, what does that say about our financial behaviors, you know, and what are the lessons there that we need to learn that it seems like about once a decade, the economic forces just rear back and whack us upside the head and say, hey, you know, at some point, you've got to learn to spend less than you earn and build up some savings and investments so that right. 2 months come along and say, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's unfortunate that I might have to use some of my savings to last 2 months. But if we can't save 2 months worth of income in 10 years of a roaring economy, I mean, what is wrong?
Yeah. I totally agree with you. And really, the old saying, in times of peace, prepare for war, times of war, prepare for peace. I mean, that's really where we're at here. You need to be ready for the disasters because they're going to strike, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation. And the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Totally agree. And the way that you do that financially, and this is the thing, it's not fun. You know, I kind of want to make this campaign, Carrie, that I should just like open up a website and get some swag, you know, some cool t-shirts or something. Sure. But I really want to start this movement of saving is sexy. And I know that sounds maybe like not what people normally think, but of course, it's always more fun to spend your money today than it is to save it for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we've got to have some level of self-control and discipline to say, yeah, it sounds boring, but really the sexy part about it is if I build up a war chest of savings when times are good, then when something like this rolls around, man, I can approach it with excitement, thinking about the opportunities I'm going to be able to capitalize on. I know you and I have talked and just here in the last year about how people need to be building their liquidity and building this savings. We didn't obviously know in our firm that something like COVID would happen, but we did know that there's a recession 2 times every 12 years, and we hadn't had one since 2008. I didn't know that something like this might be the catalyst for it.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate because what you'll see a year from now or two, depending on how all the dust settles from this. But if we really go into a recession and a prolonged kind of recession again, you're going to start to see all these complaints about the inequality, the financial inequalities in our country.
Yes.
And the reason why that gap is going to get wider is because there are people who believed that saving was sexy for the last 10 years and they saved. You know what? They maybe didn't go get the most expensive car they could, or the biggest house they could, or whatever it was. They took a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit by little bit, to save over the last decade. And now they've got this war chest that they can go and capitalize on opportunities. When there's fear out there, they're going to be able to be greedy. You know, when there's blood in the streets, they're going to be buying. And so they're going to be picking up real estate for the debt that's owed on it, and getting these fire sale deals on equipment and real assets and investments. And then, of course, the income inequality gap is going to widen. You've got people that for 10 years have been preparing to seize the opportunity. And you've got people who've been, you know, just living at that red line, spending 100% of what they make, and they're going to be more broke than ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't necessarily think it's some evil thing that's happening. I think this is just going to be consequences of your choices and your behaviors and your actions over the last decade is what's going to play out into this gap widening.
Yeah, I think you're probably correct. It's really hard for people to prepare for the inevitable, especially when you're already stretched thin. But the key is you can either raise the bridge or lower the water, meaning you make more money. So get a side hustle gig, even though it's tough right now, being an Uber driver or whatever, you can still make money at it. Rent out a house, rent out a room in your home, whatever it takes. Use that money for savings. And then, of course, analyze your monthly expenditures. And honestly, Jeff, this is something I could really profit from. But I do it on occasion, but I haven't done it enough. But there are at least 10 to 15% of your monthly expenditures that you could do without. Me, maybe it's not getting that $5 cup of coffee in the morning at Starbucks. For you, it might be something totally different. You know, if you work and you go out to lunch and you spend 10, 20 bucks each time you go out to work, and if you're in New York City, you might even be spending more than that. Heck, that can save you $50, $100, $150 a week. And then when you multiply that over the course of years, and then the other thing is don't buy expensive cars. Buy them used, 2 to 3 years old, low mileage, and you will save tens of thousands of dollars over your life. That's what I wish I had done here. Got to tell you, Jeff.
Totally agree. I mean, these are just basic financial 101 principles. And what's really sad, you know, the sad part is that that education doesn't really exist anywhere in our country. And so unless you were just fortunate enough to be brought up in a family that instilled these good lessons, or if you were just, you know, able to figure it out on your own, but for most people, they've never been taught, and the education isn't out there. And it's terribly sad. If we were going to add some curriculum to high school and college, it should be, you know, personal financial planning and business financial planning. You know, it's not just for the individuals. You know, you have some business and you don't save within your business. And so you don't store up cash, right? Or you use your cash improperly. So, you know, the lack of financial education in this country is just sad. But I think the easiest thing people can do, right? It's kind of like the harder it is, the less likely we want to do it. I don't know why our psychology is so against discipline, but
it's human nature. But
it seems like one of the easiest ways to overcome this is to automate it. And I tell this to everyone, and it doesn't matter how much money you make, this still works. You're just tricking yourself into saving, and it works because somehow all of you are perfect budgeters innately. Without spreadsheets, without tracking, without any systems or software, you are able to spend almost exactly what you make.
Yes.
Without even tracking it. So it's phenomenal ability to budget subconsciously. So what do you have to do is simply, it could be as simple as this. You say, hey, I'm going to go set up, you know, a money market account at a firm like Schwab, or an online savings account that maybe is a high yield savings account that's different than the bank account where I pay my bills. So maybe I have my regular bank where I log in and I view it. And then I go over here like some high yield online savings or you know, money market at an investment firm. And so I'm going to automate that so that the same day that I get paid, I'm going to have that 15% you're talking about zapped out of my account without me having to do anything or not even think about it. It's going to be automatically zapped and sent out of sight, out of mind, somewhere else. And I know it's there, and I know that I can figure out how to log in and reset my password and get to it and whatnot. But that account that I live out of, that account that I spend my bills out of, I've already proven that I'm really great at spending almost exactly all of it. Yes. So if we just change the amount coming in, and you can even go, you know, if it's in your business, just however you pay yourself, send this amount to your spending account and this amount somewhere else. If you're on W-2 or something, you can usually go to your payroll department, HR, whatever, accounting, and say, split my paycheck. You can literally automate it to where it doesn't ever hit your account. You will end up saving more, and you don't even really have to change anything, because you're going to spend what you've got, and you're going to go out to eat as much as you want or whatever, but that 15% is automatically going away constantly without effort. You won't miss it. You won't even know it's there. You'll just kind of trick your psychology into saving.
Yeah. And there's other things, something that I use, it's the millennial type little trick called roundups, and it rounds up all of my purchases to the nearest dollar or $10. And then I have it set to send $100 a month to Acorns, pulls it right out of my bank account. I never even see it. And it's so easy to save thousands of dollars, really in the simplest way, unconsciously. So we're talking about is unconscious savings. Anyway, right. Something to think about, Jeff. Really appreciate you coming on, sharing your words of wisdom with us. People want to find out more about you and connect with you on the web. How do you do that?
Yeah, best way, you can find ARK Financial, ARK Financial, on just about any social media channel that you want to engage with us, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera. And always you can come to arkfinancial.com, arkfinancial.com. And maybe what we should do, Kerry, is launch my swag idea and get these t-shirts going that, hashtag saving is sexy.
Okay. Sounds great. And hey, any questions or comments for Jeff, myself, email us KL@KerryLutz, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, and of course our main website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. Jeff, we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.